Welcome to Girl, You're Hired, a job interviewing tips podcast dedicated to helping you land your dream job. My name is Lena Sarnoff and I am your podcast host. On today's episode, I have such an exciting guest to bring on, Tessa White. To tell you guys a little bit more about Tessa White, she is known as the job doctor. Maybe you've seen her on TikTok or other social platforms. She has over a million followers and 9 million likes on TikTok alone. She is the author of The Unspoken Truth for Career Success. She's written for Wall Street Journal and has her brand, The Job Doctor. So I'm going to hand it over to Tessa to briefly introduce herself.
Well, hello, everybody. I am a 25-year HR veteran that somehow ended up an influencer. I don't know how that happened, but my passion really is teaching companies and people to get along better. Specifically, I left the corporate world so that I could help people navigate their careers, having seen thousands of careers rise and fall and see behind the scenes on that. And I also try to help companies unlock the potential of their people. You know, when you've worked in my seat, you see what works and what doesn't work. So that's my business today. And I try and help as many people as possible.
And you've absolutely been doing that. Like, you're known for content that is bite-sized, to the point, shows examples that you can easily replicate. So I'm just so excited to have you on the show for my listeners to benefit from all your insights. And speaking of insights, so just to let everyone know what I'd love to talk to you about today, although there are a million things that you should definitely check out on her accounts. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about some hot tips for creating a really engaging interactive interview. And that's going to be around structuring your answers, as well as how to move between a questions they ask you and pivoting it back to them to create a really good conversation. And then lastly, really good questions you should be asking throughout your interview. So we're going to dive right in. And these are the three main themes. So yeah, let's hear from Tessa. I know you have a formula about structuring every interview answer for success. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that formula?
Yes. You know, having interviewed thousands of people, the biggest problem that I see is that people ramble and the interviewer spends so much time trying to figure out where they're going that you lose a lot of traction. So follow with me. Here's the structure. You have to identify, I call them pocket examples because you can plug them in anywhere. But the first way to answer is to give a concise sentence. Here's the skill that I'm, you know, going to highlight. So I would say, you know, one of the skills that I have is X. Then they know what to listen for. The second step is to give them an example of how that has worked in your past. And again, you have to be pretty specific. The way that the brain works is you want to start with what was the problem. And what are the one, two, or three things you did specifically to solve it? And what was the outcome? So it's a very structured way to kind of work through the problem. And then what most people don't do, the third step, is helping the interviewer understand how you would use that skill in their situation, in their company. And so you tie it all up with a bow to say, so what you can expect from me is, or you could expect that I could use that in this job in this way. Because that way the interviewer doesn't have to do any work. You're just carrying them through and making it very, very simple. And you're drawing the conclusion for them rather than risking that they draw the wrong conclusion from your example.
Yeah, that is such a good formula to remember. And I like that it's like three steps and just tying it back to the job is just such an easy way to do the thinking for the hire. So let's say I'm the hiring manager. You're open to it. I'm going to ask you, so tell me what your boss would say you're really good at. How would you use that formula?
Okay, so then you're going to have one of your pocket examples. And I tell people, these pocket examples, you can plug into almost any question. And you start with the skill. So my boss would say that I'm really exceptional at coming up with creative solutions to solve problems. And okay, so then they know what they're listening for. For example, we had a problem in that we couldn't do performance reviews and the company's really busy at year end and it didn't feel like a good use of time. So what I did was I talked to the managers and realized the real problem was communication and they needed communication points so that they could just talk to their people in a less formal way. So what I implemented was one, quarterly check-ins made up of three questions that we could ask people. Number two, a short training on how to mentor and guide and coach people throughout the year. And what ended up happening, so now I'm going to the outcome, is that we were able to pivot into a quarterly question answer and increase the communication between people without having the cumbersome performance appraisals. The outcome was it increased our retention of our people by about 5%, and we related it directly to that change. So what you can expect from me is, instead of just doing things the same way they've always been done, is I'll dig deep to understand what the real need is and come up with a creative way that helps us accomplish that without necessarily just doing it the way it's always been done. Now, I did that one off the top of my head, so if I had time, I would probably come up with a stronger one, but I wanted to show you what that framework looks like so that you could understand how easily you can lead somebody down the path of, here's what I do well, here's an example of how I did it well and why it made a difference, and what you can expect from me.
Absolutely. It was very easy to, it was easy to follow, and it was concrete. And I feel like if people can replicate that in their own words or way, it will be really beneficial. And even just notice to the listeners out there at the beginning, like the full sentence is also really valuable to point out. Like, I'm glad you asked. One thing I'm really good at is blank, because when you just dive in, like maybe the interviewer has already forgot like what they ask you, or like it's just easy to follow a full thought from.
And really, when you think about it, the top questions that you're going to be asked, they are, you know, what would your manager say about you? Why did you think you would be a good fit for this job? What are the skills that you what do you think would make you set yourself out as a better candidate over others? Those are common questions, and every single one of those can be pivoted into a pocket example. Well, the reason I applied for it is because I think, I read your job description. It looks like you need somebody that's really creative. One of my strengths is being creative. And there you go. You're right into the pocket example. So no matter how they ask the question, you are prepared to pivot into an answer that you've really thought through, and that really you can be very specific about highlighting very important things that you want the employer to know. So in that regard, you're driving the interview.
Yeah, and that feels really powerful, and it kind of really makes you stand out from other interviews, I believe, because when you mm-hmm. show like you're in control, you have examples ready to go. And then the next question I'll ask you, which is about like kind of navigating and bringing questions back to the interview, then it will make you stand out, because other candidates might just seem very nervous and just sitting there and waiting for the next question. And that isn't exactly how to stand out in an interview. So yeah, I would love to ask you more about that, actually. So I know you give people advice about making interviews more conversational. So do you have any tips of how to do that?
Well, you're right. A lot of us just sit there and wait for the next question. That's okay. It's not the worst thing that could happen. But to make the interview most powerful, you're trying to make a connection with somebody. And how do you connect? You have a real conversation. And almost every question that they ask, you can ask them a question back to keep the conversation going. So some of my favorites would be, tell me about the last person that was in this job. How did they do? And what were some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses that you saw? What is the problem that you're trying to solve through this hire? And what's the real urgent need? What would knocking it out of the park look like in this particular position? Anything where you can ask them something about and elicit more information helps you have a better interview, because they're going to, let's say they come back and say, well, the last person in the job, you know, we had some difficulty in that they weren't able to get some things across the finish line, or they really, you know, weren't able to work really well with other teams. Then you can respond with, oh, that's really interesting. I'm glad that we're talking about this, because I do think one of my strengths is working with teams. I can remember a time when, and there you go into your next pocket example. Anytime you can give them a question, they drop a clue that will help you interview better and give them what they're looking for. So you might as well be asking those questions so that you can have the best interview possible, rather than just kind of hoping that somehow you stumble into the right answers that they're looking for.
Yeah, that's such a good tactic. And to have someone implement it, do you have any advice of how someone can either come up with these questions? Like, are there some common questions?
My favorite one that I think usually gets the best kind of clues back is, what's the problem that this role is trying to solve? Why does this role exist? because that's where you really understand. Companies don't open positions for no reason. They open it because they're trying to solve a problem. So if you understand the specific problem, it helps you. Just like if somebody opens an HR position and the problem was they need somebody who can build infrastructure and grow the company quickly, then I know that I'm going to focus on my ability to put processes in place, find great talent. And I'm not going to focus on some other things that I would focus on if the problem were entirely different. So incredibly important question to ask. And the other is, tell me what success looks like in 3 months, 6 months. You will get a clue as to how much they've thought through the position, which I think is really important. And it will give you an idea of just how aggressive you're going to have to get after certain things and whether you have the skill set to do it. So I like that question as well.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because later on in another interview, maybe it's with someone else, maybe more senior than that person, they'll ask you, what's your plan to to succeed in this role? And you can literally mirror and leverage some of the other information that was given to you and show that you would go straight and dive into those. And they'll be like, wow, this person really knows what's waiting. Yeah. So that's a perfect one. And you also mentioned sometimes kind of digging into what the value is of the company, what's important to them. Why is that something good to do? And like, how can you dig at that a bit more in a question?
Well, I think that people sometimes go to companies just because somebody wrote an article and said, this is the best company to work for. It might not be a best company for you to work for, because we're all really different. For one person, they really thrive in a sink or swim environment where they get to create from scratch things. And another person may thrive in an environment where things are tied off and there's a lot more process, where that would bore the other person. So it's really important that you understand what the company values. And even ask, aside from what does the company value, they can say anything, right? That you want to believe them. So give me an example of how that's shown up in your company. And then you get a better sense for whether they're just, giving you the party line of the aspirational view of what the company wants to be, or whether that's really a true thing. In fact, sometimes I'll ask, tell me about the company and where it's going, but also, and the good things that you like about it, but tell me also about the warts. You can say it differently than that, but what are the things you don't like about it, and the things that might get in the way of employee engagement or, people staying in your company? And I find that when you ask those questions and ask them to give an example, you will get a clearer view of what you're signing up for. It's never going to be perfect, but you'll get something a lot clearer.
Yeah, there are so many wins in that example you had just given, because A, you will show that you're very thoughtful, because I bet not that many people feel comfortable asking that, especially about kind of like the warts of the company or like the challenges. And then on top of that, you will maybe eventually have to choose between two offers. So you will know more what you're getting into. There'll be more retention rate if you are aware of the things going in. You wouldn't just suddenly quit once one of those challenges may arise. So there's really lots of wins with that. So I'm really glad you're encouraging, listeners to try that out. Diving into the third thing I wanted to cover today, which is ping-ponging a bit with the interviewer. So answering the questions fully, but then turning it into question back to them. I know we've kind of talked about questions you can ask, but you've given some really great examples in the past about, giving your answer, but then having them speak to about the same thing. Because right now we've kind of been asking general questions just before this, like tell me about the company, right?
So let's go back to the example we used earlier. I said I was really a creative problem solver and gave them an example. I would probably close that after saying, this is what you can expect from me and how I would apply it. I would say, tell me, is that a skill set that you believe the company values or is needed in this role? Tell me, if that's important to you. And all of a sudden you're giving them an opportunity to kind of think through your answer and be able to say either, well, we're, yes, it's helpful, but we're not that creative of a company, in which case, you need to pivot. And you can say, tell me more about what your real needs are and why you're opening the position and what you're really looking for, so that I can give you examples that would give you confidence. Or they'll say, yeah, you know what? The last person we had just followed the rules all the time. And it was like, HR was the police department. We're really looking for somebody that can be more creative in their approach, so that you getting, again, either reinforcement that you're on the right path or that you're not. And furthermore, they are reinforcing for themselves whether you're a fit or not.
And it also keeps the interviewer really engaged throughout, because once you've ask at the end of the question once a question back to them. Now they kind of will be more prepared after every answer that they will be able to provide feedback. Because at the end of the day, interviewers are representing their company too.
I think it's really, really important too to understand that in an interview, you have leverage, and leverage is really important because that's how you get more money and a better offer. Really soliciting that information from them, it helps you get more leverage. In fact, at the end of the interview, the biggest mistake people make is, you know, 9 times out of 10, people will say, the interviewer says, what questions do you have for me? And it will be, when are you going to make a decision? How do I stack up against the candidates? You know, something very generic. And that is so flat to leave your interview. And really the same principles that we're talking about apply. You want to leave on a high note. And that high note is asking them a question about the job again. You know, you want to go back to tell me more about this. Tell me more about your job. Tell me more about the people that have succeeded in the job, because then that gives you one more opportunity to say, you know, the more that we've talked about this, I feel like I'm a really good fit. And you can summarize what you've expressed and have one more opportunity to give one more pocket example to them in the end, which is going to be what you need to do to really, you know, be cemented as a top candidate in their head. You don't want to leave on a low note. You want to leave on a high note.
Yeah, exactly. It's so important to bring the interview back to like a positive conversation, because I've heard that it's really like the beginning that people remember from an interview, and like the end is like the last impression, the first impression. Right. So
you don't want to leave on a wah, wah, wah. Everybody, you know, if 9 out of 10 people are saying, when are you going to make a decision? And that, you know, that's how they end the interview. But your interview ended with, I'm so excited about what I'm hearing. I have one more question for you about the company. You know, where are you headed in the next year? And how does this position play into that? How does this position help with that? And then they answer it. So they're participating, and you go, oh, I'm so glad you said that. That's so exciting to me because I've done X. Then you're leaving, just setting yourself apart so much more than another candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm hearing is like that passion and excitement is critical. And I think when people get nervous on an interview, it's hard for them to also seem excited because they're just nervous. But, you know, maybe it takes a little bit of acting or like faking until you make it. But I think smiling in an interview and saying exactly what you had just said in those words will absolutely make a difference, because people want to work with happy people. They want to hire someone who's excited to join and not just because it's a 9 to 5. So I love all those tips, and I'd love to, you know, leave it with bringing it back to you because we are almost at time. And I always like asking guests about one piece of advice kind of tied to what we talked about or in general for interviews. What might that be?
Well, as it relates to interviewing, the biggest mistake I see people make is they are not clear on their own value proposition when they go into the interview. And if you're not clear on it, they will not be clear on it. And so value proposition is a really big misunderstood topic. And what it is the reason you would hire me is I solve these kinds of problems. This is my style. You know, your value proposition is how you can solve problems for that company. So HR, for example, instead of me saying I'm an HR professional that manages compensation, benefits, and training, which is a real snoozer, my value proposition is I'm the person you'd hire if, you got to finish the sentence, if you want to go fast in your company, you want to go public, and you need to put in place infrastructure and processes so that you can go fast. I'm also the person that you would hire if you really love a creative approach to how to solve problems. That is a value proposition. So I would just tell people, get very, very clear on that. I am the person you'd hire if, and go more niche rather than more broad, and that will help you get the job.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for that. I really feel like it's so important. And I just hearing the difference between the first version of the value proposition and the second one, that's night and day. So I absolutely encourage people to sit with that, write it out, memorize it. Just to summarize to everyone who tuned in, hopefully you can take a lot of things away, but just the top 3 or 4 lessons is to remember to use some structure in your answers, use full sentences, give a few examples, and really show that you can expect to carry those outcomes over into the role. It's also really critical to kind of pivot back and answer questions, but also ask the interviewer, what do you think about that? And let them talk, use the insights they're giving you, ask meaningful questions that are beyond what something you could just find on their site, and really know your value proposition. This has been super insightful. I learned so much from you, Tessa. If you guys want to get in touch with her and get more of her great advice and scripts, you can purchase her book, The Unspoken Truth, for career success. You can visit her website, thejobdoctor.com. Tessa, do you want to add anything else about your book or other things you're up to today?
If people really want a dive deep and watch us solve real problems with real people, they should go to my podcast, The Job Doctor Is In.
Thank you, Tessa. I'll make sure people go check you out there. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Follow these tips and girl, you're hired.